This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day to be together in this time of worship on this third Sunday of Advent, and it is my joy to welcome all of you, whether you're joining us online or here in the sanctuary. We know that the Spirit of Christ connects us and keeps us united as we worship. I would invite you to take just a moment to register your attendance. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in the browser that will take you to that spot. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. Or if you're really high tech and you want to use the QR code in the bulletin, that would also be cool. So you can register and let us know that you're with us. I want to say a special word of welcome. I had a chance to greet George Mabry this morning as I was leaving the early service. He is the composer of the choir's anthem that they are singing and will be conducting that piece. So we welcome you and we're so glad that you're here and for the gifts that you bring with your presence today. Other announcements as we gather. Today is the last day for the ministry market that's in Reed Hall. So if you have some folks on your Christmas list that you'd like to give a special gift with special meaning that makes a difference in our community, take a few minutes to take a look around out there after the service. On Wednesday of this week at 6:30 p.m., we'll have our service of the longest night. This is a contemplative, quiet service of prayer and singing, and Dr. Tammy Lewis Wilborn will be our preacher for that evening. It's especially meaningful service for those of us who might be walking through this season with some extra burdens of grief or loss or trouble. This is a good space to bring all of that together and feel the presence of Christ and the faith community around you. So that is Wednesday at 6:30 here in the sanctuary and also live streamed. The next two Sundays, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, we will have only one service on Sunday morning. It will be at 10 a.m. There will be no Sunday school. There will be nursery care for children under two, as well as children's church during the worship service. On the 24th, Christmas Eve, we will have a 4 o'clock child-led service. That's children in costumes and all the excitement of the Christmas story, plus communion. And then at 10:30 p.m., we'll have our traditional Christmas service with communion and choir and preaching and all that comes with that. So it's a great time to invite someone you know who might be looking for a place to worship on Christmas Eve. And finally, the offices will be closed on Christmas Day and on the 26th. Let us now prepare our hearts to hear the good news of Christ's coming into the world, news that brings joy to the world.
We light this third candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of the Christ's joy coming into our world. Hear these words from the psalmist. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap the shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves.
Thank you. Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Oh God, on this third Sunday of Advent, we celebrate your joy. May our souls be lifted to you, for you have anointed us to preach good news.
The Spirit of the Lord is on us.
May our mourning turn to dancing through our worship of you.
The Spirit of the Lord is on us.
Friends, the prophets of Advent continually remind us of this ultimate truth: God is love. And even when we turn our backs on God, God never stops loving us. Even though we choose to live in darkness, God's light never stops shining. With this assurance of grace, let us make our confession before God and each other. God of disruption and order, move in our lives to bring about the work of your anointing and our brokenheartedness. Bind our souls in your love. In our despair, deliver us with the oil of gladness. Where we have imprisoned ourselves and others, set us free by your power. Help us to be repairers of the breach and a people who bestow beauty for ashes. Bring us into the fullness of your kingdom, where righteousness and praise sprout up before all nations. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear this good news. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Please join me in reading a special Advent prayer for illumination, which you will find printed in your bulletin. As your Holy Spirit spoke to the prophets of God, speak to us now through your word, that by listening to your voice, we too will make a way for your joy to come into the world. Today's lesson is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice, and I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
ask all the grown-ups to be seated, and if there are any children in the sanctuary who want to come forward and join me up here, please do. And if you're worshiping from home and want to get a little closer to your screens, that would be great too, because this moment is for you. Good morning, good morning. Glad to see all of you. It's almost Christmas Day. Almost ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus. So you may have noticed that in church, for these few weeks before Christmas, we've been talking about getting ready and preparing the way. And one of the ways we do that is lighting our Advent wreath candle. With every week, we light one more candle. This week, our third candle is a different color. What color is that?
Pink.
How many of you like pink? I love pink. Yeah, pink's a great color. Well, the reason it's pink is because it's a candle of joy. And it sort of reminds us of the rose and what a joy is all about. So as I've been thinking about joy, I remember a song that I learned when I was about your age. Maybe you know it too. I'm going to sing it through once, and then I'm going to have us all sing it together, okay? It goes like this. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. All right, we're going to sing it. You got to smile while you sing it, okay? Because it's all about joy. And I'm going to ask everybody in this half of the sanctuary to sing the joy, joy, joy. This half gets to say where? And Stacy and Shannon are going to help with that part, okay? And you can choose. You can sing or you can say where. You get to choose, all right? Ready? I'm going to take it up a little key because that was a little low. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay. That reminds me that joy is something God gives us way down in our hearts. It's that we know God loves us no matter what. Sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're sad, sometimes we're mad. We have all sorts of feelings, but we can always have joy because we know God loves us. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for the birth of Jesus, that you came to be one of us as a little baby to show us how much you love us. Help that joy be way, 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 way down in our hearts, and we'll always know it's there and that nothing will ever change it. Help us to be joyful this season and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for singing with me. 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Pastor Stacy and Pastor Maggie. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with parents or friends. Y'all did great with that. That was fun. It was really big from here. It sounded great. So over these past 3 weeks of Advent, we have been led by the voice of the prophet in the book of Isaiah. We've spent most of our time in the very last part of the book of Isaiah, hearing the words of the prophet speaking to a particular people at a particular moment in their history. In this latter part of Isaiah, if you've been here the past couple of weeks, you've heard me say what we think was happening in that time was that the people of Israel were gradually returning to the land. They had been overrun by the Babylonian army, Jerusalem destroyed, the temple torn down, many of their peoples dragged away into exile, and they are perhaps beginning to recover from that. But they are looking around and seeing a land in devastation, a land in rubble. And so the prophet speaks into this moment with words of hope, with words of promise, with words of peace, and even words of joy, reminding them that they are God's people, that God sees them, that God is with them and always has been. And in the reading for today, the prophet's voice arises from the rubble and says, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the oppressed, freedom to the captives, liberation to the prisoners. And we can imagine that he's talking to these people who have been captives and who have been oppressed and are now seeing signs, perhaps, of their liberation. So in some ways, these words are a word for a particular people at a particular time. But we fast forward a few hundred years, and we hear these words again, this time in the New Testament, this time coming from the mouth of Jesus himself. In the fourth chapter of Luke, the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry, he goes into his hometown synagogue in Nazareth, and he preaches his first sermon. They hand him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he opens it up to these verses. Now, he mixes in a little bit from chapter 58, and he leaves out the verse about God's vengeance. Very interesting. We'll talk about that some other time. But these words come out of the mouth of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time has come of God's favor, the year of Jubilee when all debts are forgiven. And there are many who say this is Jesus' mission statement, that he will spend his life and his teachings reaching out to the poor, to the marginalized, to the least, to the lost, to the lonely. And we see that lived out in his life and in his ministry. And so we hear these words today as a particular people in a particular time and place. And I don't know about you, but there's a part of me that wrestles with these words. It happened right after Jesus' sermon. You see, he read the text from Isaiah, and then he started preaching. And he gave two examples of God's ministry among the oppressed, the poor, the needy. The first example was Elijah's ministry to a widow of Zarephath, an outsider. She was not a Jewish woman. The second example he gives is of Naaman, the military captain of the Assyrian army, also not a Jewish person. And so here he is preaching in his hometown synagogue, announcing God's good news for them, the ones outside the walls. And the congregation did not like it. They got so angry at Jesus, they dragged him out of the synagogue and tried to throw him over a cliff. But it was brand new in his ministry, and he managed to escape from them and continue his public ministry elsewhere. But there's something in me that resonates with that congregation in Nazareth. To feel like the good news of God is for them and not for me, I bump up against that in these verses when it's announced that there is good news for the poor and for the oppressed and for the prisoner and the captive. Because I'm not any of those things. I've never been poor. I have everything I need and most of what I want. I don't experience oppression in any real concrete or regular way. I've never been imprisoned or captive. So I wonder, as we read these verses, am I in them? Do you struggle to see yourself in this promise of good news for the world? Well, if you do, if you find yourself resonating with that, let's go together a little more deeply into these words of Isaiah and the words of Jesus to see where we find ourselves and how this word is good news for all people, including me and including us. The first place I begin to see that stirring is this reminder of the prophets and of Jesus, of God's vision and hope for the world. That God's will for the world is that there would be no poverty. There would be no poor people. That there would be no captives or those who are imprisoned. That there would be no brokenness like we see in our world. That this is God's hope for all creation, that all of God's people and all of creation would be flourishing and there would be enough for everyone. And that we would all see our oneness as a human race and build that world together. I believe that that is God's dream and hope and purpose for creation. And that is something I can be part of. First, by looking around and recognizing and naming those ways and those places where we're not there yet, where we can see the injustice in our world, where we can see the brokenness and the pain. This past week, I finally got my child to watch Finding Your Roots with me. I have been working on him for months, and my husband. I haven't gotten David to watch it yet with me, but this is the show on public television hosted by Henry Louis Gates. And each episode, he works with two or three different people, usually celebrities or football players or politicians or leaders, people who are known to most of us. And he helps trace their family trees. And they come from all different kinds of backgrounds. This particular episode we watched was featuring Angela Davis, who was a civil rights activist, a professor of law. And he was asking her what inspired her to become more active in the civil rights movement. And she talked about how growing up in Alabama, they used to ride in their car with their parents by this amusement park. And they could see the children riding the rides. They could see the families eating the popcorn and the cotton candy. But they knew that they couldn't go there. This would have been the late 50s, early 60s. And because they were people of color, they couldn't get into the amusement park. And Angela Davis said that her mother, every time they drove by that place, would say, "Now, children, the world isn't supposed to be like this. It's supposed to be better than this. And I want y'all to help make it better." And if you know Angela Davis's career, you know she worked really hard to make it better. And that's part of our job as the people of God, to look around us and see what is not right, where there is oppression, where there is injustice, where there is struggle, and to do what we can to change it so it looks more like the kingdom of heaven on earth. I don't know about you, but I know this story of Angela Davis was decades ago, but I still see injustice everywhere all around us. At my former church, we had a very active prison ministry, started by Bill Miller, actually. And there was a gentleman who we'd gotten to know at Riverbend Maximum Security. He served 12 years there for a crime he did not commit. And finally, working with the Innocence Project, he got his sentence overturned. He was exonerated. And yet it still took them months to release him. And when they did release him, they gave him $20 and opened the door and let him out. Not a bus pass, no way to get into town, no plan to support and help him. Thank goodness the people of God at Christ United Methodist Church had built a relationship with him and with others. And so there was someone there to pick him up and take him to Shoney's breakfast bar and get him a hot breakfast, to take him to get his driver's license and work with him to find a job and to find lodging, closing that gap of injustice. It blows my mind that there are people who spend 12 years of their life in jail for a crime they didn't commit who were just set out on the street. There are things like that happening all around us, and we cannot heal every injustice. We can't right all the wrongs in our world, in our city, in our society, but we can have our eyes open and hearts open to where God might be gifting us, particularly as a people, to build a better world. Because that's what the prophet says. That's where he moves in the second part of this passage. I don't know if you noticed the shift in pronouns, but he begins to say they will be repairers of the city. They will rebuild. They will repair. And it's inviting the people of God to be part of that building and reconciliation and recreation. And that's our calling too. That is one place where we are in this text, to join God in the reconciling, healing, working for justice in this world that God is all about. And there's one more place, at least for me, that I found myself in these words of the prophet. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted." I think most of us know what it's like to be brokenhearted. Some of us, even now, in this moment, as we gather for worship, are here with a broken heart. all different reasons, but we know what it feels like to be broken open. And so we hear these words of the prophet and the promise that part of God's work in our lives and in the life of the world is binding up those broken hearts. And we can find in these words of the prophet words of hope and healing. I hope if you've come here today with a broken heart, you hear this word for you, that the God who is coming into the world in the birth of Christ is coming toward you with love and grace and power and healing. And when we come to face our own brokenheartedness, by some mystery of the Holy Spirit, we realize our connection to all other broken hearts and all those who suffer and sorrow in our world. It reminds us that we're all in this together. Though we suffer in different ways and in different reasons, though our tears fall for different things, we all are in it together. And we're all waiting for the coming of Christ. And so we can look at those places of injustice in the world, and we can hear these words of Jesus and no longer see us and them, but that we're all in it together. And somehow, that truth is at the very heart of joy. Knowing that God is with us, knowing that we are all connected to one another, knowing that even now God is at work in our lives and in our world with healing and justice and peace and hope. My friends, God has given us exactly what we need this Christmas. May it bring us deep joy that the world will never take away. Amen.
As we respond to God's word this morning, I invite you all to stand as we say together the affirmation of faith that is found in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you please be seated? As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers this morning. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to be prayed for throughout the week, you can fill out a gray card that's in the pew rack and place it in the offering plate, or you can go on our website and click on the Contact Us portion of the website. I want to encourage you to take note of the prayer requests that are listed in your bulletin and keep those names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. We want to remember those who are mourning the passing of a loved one. I want to lift up Lynn Reich Herndon, who passed away on December 8th in Nashville. Services with her and her family were held yesterday here in Scales Chapel. We want to lift up John Howell Sr. and his family as he mourns the death of his son, John Floyd Howell Jr., who passed away on December 9th. Services were held this past Friday. And we lift up Matt Phelps and his family as they mourn the death of his grandfather, Lou Noley, who passed away on December 12th in Cincinnati, Ohio. Services will be held there on December 27th. We also want to lift up those who around the world experience the pain of the lack of peace and lack of joy this morning, those who live in conflict zones, lift them up in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Lord, we give thanks for your joy today. Indeed, you have done great things for us and in our lives, and we cannot begin to express our gratitude for your incarnation, for the way that you have come into our lives, come into our hearts, and have offered us abundant joy. Our hearts overflow with gratitude and a desire to make your joy known to the world around us. We ask that you would fill us with a desire to share that which you have given with the world that needs to hear your good news, that you have come into the world yourself and offer abundant life and unbounding grace. Lord, for the many today that joy is just beyond arm's length, we lift up our prayers. It is a hope and a striving that eludes realization. And for those that reside in this place, we open our hearts and live into the Advent season, waiting for the fulfillment of your promises. We offer thanks for your hope that sustains and guides. And it is with that hope that we now offer up to you those difficult places in our lives, as well as those things that bring us life. We open our hands and ask for your help in releasing them into your capable hands. Lord, we thank you for this time that is carved out in the week where we can both offer ourselves to you and then be filled by you. May we be changed people as we leave this place. May the joy that is fueled by your love become evident on our faces and in our lives. And may we act out of that joy in all the ways in which we live. And it's in the spirit of that joy that we boldly pray as one body the words you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now invite us to gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen, while here in the sanctuary we will pass offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous to us. invite you to be seated. One of the joys of coming to work here at West End has been being a part of people who decide to make this their home. And in the last few months that I've been here, we've had and welcomed more than 50 people into our congregation, and this year more than 75. And so I'm so excited that has been our legacy for this year. I'm so thankful that Aaron is here, that has walked many of us into that. Today we welcome one more into our family this year. This is Jennifer Burkmeyer. She's been a part of our congregation since last year. She's married to Justin, and they have two wonderful children named June and Wells. Jennifer is an event director for the Nashville Business Journal, and her family really enjoys exploring Nashville, exploring Franklin, and showering their dog Penny with love. So Jennifer, we are so thankful for all that God has done in your life to bring and has brought you into our community, and we're excited that you and your family have made West End your home. I do have a few questions for you as we welcome you into membership. As a member of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will.
I will.
As a member of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Now, I invite all of us here, whether you're in the pews or online watching with us, I invite you to stand in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest member. Family of God, Jennifer is now entrusted into your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you. And we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church, our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you all to join me after the service is over, one, to go through the ministry market, but also to come into Reed Hall and to meet Jennifer and welcome her into our family. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
love is on the way. May we take that good news out into the world with joy and hope, and may we work with God to make it so. Amen.